What's going on? This is Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed, and you're listening to Stan, Ro, and Camus on the SGP Podcast. Shut up, Camus!
Are you ready? Listening to the SGP Podcast.
You are listening to the longest running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the SGP Podcast. Stan C. Romaran and Raf Camus at the Balay, and we are recording a very special episode because we're going to try something that we haven't done before.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call it very special.
Yeah, it's not super special.
Yeah. Because we're not originators of this format.
No, not at all. It's because Stan and myself have become new fans of the Something to Wrestle podcast with Bruce Pritchard.
Yes.
And Conrad Thompson, and they do a lot of diving into history. Into WWE shows of
older stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting dun is when I started listening, yung recent string of deep dives nila were from the time when I got into wrestling.
Exactly, yes. Mm-hmm. That's why I was also, buti na lang pala na, ano, yun yung topic sila.
Yeah, so it was early 2004. I'm listening to the No Way Out episode right now. It's in the show where Eddie won the title. Mm-hmm. I listened to WrestleMania 20, then Backlash 04. Really good stuff. And then we thought to ourselves, sige, let's try the format out for the podcast. And look at things from our lenses as wrestling fans who were coming of age in that era,
yeah,
getting into the fandom in the case of Ro and myself.
We know many of you have also joined the fandom around that time.
Yeah, no, parang it's the Jack TV era.
Yeah, it is. The Solar Sports.
No, the Solar USA Sports. Era.
Ah, there you go. Which is even older.
Mm, Ultimate Sports and Action.
Yeah. Oh my God. I forgot that's what USA stood for.
Yung OBB nila, yung kanta ni Benoit.
Yes.
It was Whatever was by Our Lady Peace.
Did they even have permission to run
that? I have no idea. Or maybe they got it from the recording company.
Because getting local licenses from the label was much easier at the time, that you could just get basically
anything, any song you wanted.
Any song you wanted, and then you pay like a couple of thousand bucks, and then it's like, oh, here you have
thousand?
The
rights. Yes. Wow.
That's how cheap the rights were at the time.
Jesus Christ.
So we put together a quick poll over the weekend on our Twitter, and Taboo Tuesday 2004 won. That was my suggestion. And we'll tell you a little bit why I thought it was a bad pick in retrospect. And
it was a terrible pick!
Yeah, I'm going to take the L on that one.
God!
So we'll talk about that, mamaya. But since, you know, Taboo Tuesday, it was centered around the premise of letting your voices be heard and voting for something, we might as well spend a few minutes talking about the elections, which are happening
on
Monday.
Yes.
Sakto.
Yes,
so it's the midterm elections on Monday.
You're voting for your senators,
your local mayors, LGUs,
congressmen,
councilors, mm-hmm. and that's about it.
Mayors, vice mayors.
Governors, vice mayors.
Yeah.
Where applicable.
Yeah. So I'm assuming all three of us are registered.
Yes, of course.
Okay, so if you're listening and you're not a registered voter, sayang. I'm going to try my best not to shame you,
At the same time, you have another 3 years to register and vote for the upcoming round of elections.
You could also at least influence people you do know who are actually registered voters to vote for the right people.
Yes.
You know, we've seen the TVCs. We've seen their banner ads on different websites and on different social media.
You've seen the banners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the jingles and the videos.
And the Dancing 16.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely terrible. Jeez.
So bad.
Guys, you know, we make a lot of Bong Revilla, Nintendo jokes, but don't make that comparison. Nintendo deserves better.
Oh, at this point.
At this point, Nintendo is a better candidate than Bong Revilla.
I don't think you would see Nintendo dancing with the Dancing 16.
Yeah, and if you're having a hard time deciding kung senatorial slate pa palang, there are several websites out there. There's one on the GMA News Portal. There's one that was independently made where you can actually check yung mga stances of the senatoriables and match them with your own alignments towards these issues.
Senatoriables.
Yes.
What a word.
Yeah, so there. You can check those out. I actually tried one of those out, and then I checked kung sino pinaka ka-align ko.
Yeah, yeah.
So I matched up with Chell and with Tanyada.
Yeah, same. Basically, who I was expecting to be matched up with, I got matched up with.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same here. Na parang, for the most part, if you feel strongly about the topics that we've talked about when we get political on this podcast,
oh, yes,
you might end up with a lot of ocho derecho bets. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of other independent bets out there that might align with
you as
well.
Yeah, absolutely. There, you don't have to stick with the ocho derecho plan. Lord knows that you don't have to. But if you are voting HNP, please vote straight 13 HNP.
Yes.
Please.
Check
please.
All the
yes,
circles.
Yes, all of them. Check
no, no,
all
no,
the
circles.
No, check all the circles. Check all the circles.
Check all the circles.
Check
all the circles. If you are
check
voting
the circles.
HNP, check the circles, guys.
Check the circle. All 13 of them, please. Show your support for the president.
And check.
Check
all
of
the
them.
Circles.
Please. Do your country a favor.
Yeah, and go to dinner, smile, put on that fist pose. Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Sorry, just because you're talking about the dinner thing.
Yeah.
Incredibly misleading stuff.
Oh, sorry, true.
Incredibly misleading stuff. Because the whole Matrix issue with Gretchen Ho, of all people, who is a news practitioner and has no bearing whatsoever. She's very
she's
politically
sports,
neutral.
Yeah, she's entertainment, right?
She's sports and entertainment.
Yeah.
She's sports and entertainment.
Sports entertainment
for ABS-CBN, yeah. And I have, you know, we have reached out to her officially.
Uh-huh.
Officially.
Who's
for
you?
The PWR media
team. Okay, okay.
I
didn't know that. Sorry.
I have, but
okay,
then, but nauna yung mga ibang ano, yung mga ibang networks natin for the right
sure,
avenues.
Sure.
But she's a very politically neutral person. She's not stupid, but she doesn't deserve to be put on this list of people who are conspiring with the government. All because
right.
She is a sports media practitioner.
See, I'm more interested in the fact that Hylan Diaz is included.
Because
Hylan Diaz has no time for this shit. She literally said
she has no time for this shit.
Shaka, you're gonna put your only Olympic medalist, I mean, not only, but your highest ranking
ever
Olympic medalist in so long on blast like that.
And she's, you know,
for what reason?
And not only is that the case, but in her weight class, she's top 10
yeah.
in the world right now. Why do you have to put this additional stress on her?
Which is short of saying that she really has no time for this shit. Oh, I mean, what more see Timothy Chalamet? Ano may career yun?
Sino bang gumawa ng Matrix ito? Si Ken Warren ba?
Well, if... Does he have material coming out soon about this? Because
probably
last,
this.
Because last I checked, he just formed a tag team with Chris Panzer.
Yeah.
To challenge MSG.
Yeah, that's happening.
And that's official already.
Yep,
for,
it's been announced
for Revolution X happening on May 26th.
That's right, last Sunday of the month.
Yeah.
One last thing on names that were mispronounced, miswritten. Shout out to the guy from
Spin.TH.
So this actually happened at the press conference post Warriors Rockets.
I lost
so this
my
guy
shit.
Who's based in the US, and I know this from friends in Spin.
Okay.
Yes.
The dude is based in the US.
He's
and
not
he was
tied to
as
the
a
main,
correspondent.
He's not the main. He's not with the main group of Spin.
No,
but
he was staffed
he's
as a correspondent.
He's a stringer.
So
he's a
stringer.
He's a spinner.
Correct. Okay. He introduced himself. Blah 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 from spin.ph. This one's for Hayden. Hayden. Blah 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 blah.
Oh,
he asked him about Hayden's adjustments in game 5.
Lord.
And then Harden goes, who's the question for? Me?
Yeah, yeah.
For
who?
Me?
Who?
Me? Me? And then Kyrie's on the podium with him. And then Kyrie's just like, huh? It's clearly not me. Harden. He meant to say Harden.
Ano Kyrie? Ba Chris Paul.
Ah, Chris Paul, sorry.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
No, nahihilo ako because I just have to bring it up one time.
Okay.
Celtics are out.
Okay, we're out. Okay, done.
We're done.
Jesus Christ.
So the guy go inulit pa niya sabi, yeah, for you, Hayden.
How are you a sports writer?
He's not even a blogger boy.
So who what is he?
I don't know.
Jesus Christ, how's he asking a question
Ryan
about rotations?
Ryan Songdalia would not be making this mistake.
No, nobody would be making this mistake if you follow basketball at all.
That's
with,
an MVP with, candidate, guys.
With a beard that distinct.
Without that iconic.
Yeah, exactly. How could you miss out on Harden?
So the guy's voice sounded so much like Ricky Lo.
Oh.
Now when I was watching, it's like, si Ricky Lo ba to? Who flew him to Oracle? So yeah, good job, Pinoy.
Hey, no, who's gonna pay Ricky Lo to go to Oracle, guys?
Hey, you never know.
Hey, Ricky Lo was paid to talk to Anne Hathaway.
That's true.
So
but
good job, Pinoy. Pinoy pride, man. Pinoy pride all the way. Alright, here we go. Okay, let's bring it back to wrestling. The biggest thing, of course, coming out of this week is the wild card rule. And yes, that sound you heard was the collective sigh of agony from wrestling fans everywhere. It's funny na pinunod natin yung Taboo Tuesday this week, and we could see yung how strong the brand split was still at the time. And then you take it back to 2019, 15 years later, and they're really killing the brand split slowly with the whole wild card rule.
Right? Yes.
Thinking back to 2004, John Cena and Randy Orton were like the up and coming stars of their respective brands, and people were salivating over the fact that these two young bucks could go against one another.
Yes.
And now in 2019, like the wild card rules, like any moment, like I can get AJ Styles hopping over back to SmackDown. Parang
napaka, the house that he built.
Napaka nakakagago. Yeah.
It's idiotic. One. Number two, if this is a long con for us to establish Crazy Man Vince as a character.
No, it's not. They are really playing it straight. It's super straight. Have you not heard?
I know. I saw. I watched Raw. I endured Raw this week.
Yeah, have you also endured SmackDown? Corey Graves is a wild card rule apologist.
Yep, I have. And it's upsetting. It's upsetting to me because it's like you watch this and you're like, guys, you know, there is nothing special in wrestling anymore. There is nothing. Nothing is sacred. Nothing is sacred. And it's just so hard to watch, you know, Vince come on. And there's no way you're writing yourself out of this unless you go full Crazy Vince.
I'm not sure if you guys noticed this on Raw, but there was a quip that Corey Graves made towards Renee. I'm not sure if they were talking about the wild card rules. Pero sabi ni Corey, this is why you're not paid to think.
Jesus Christ.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, there was that bit. So kind of appalling. Not a good week for WWE.
The ratings are falling, and they think this is gonna solve it. In a manner of speaking, it's kind of objectively, it's kind of exciting. Okay, you got no. Only in the sense that you got your best workers appearing, like AJ's back.
Okay. Yeah.
Pero siempre. At the end of the day, it still doesn't make that much sense. And sense is what we're all looking for.
It's like, it's an on paper.
Yeah, yeah.
On paper, sure, but in reality and in practice, oof.
Like, why am I getting the Usos, who are on Raw, all of a sudden challenging for the vacant SmackDown Tag Team Championships on SmackDown when it could have gone to literally any other SmackDown team on the division?
Mm-hmm. Here's another issue. And like, okay, I'm not a booker, I'm not a promoter, pero I could...
You know something.
No, I won't even say that. Like, I know something because I'm part of the PWR backstage team, whatever. No. One of the biggest problems that WWE's got right now, based on what we're reading, is... talent being unhappy and how they want to be released from their contracts and want to go to AEW or wherever the hell else, right? In doing the wild card rules, you're essentially not freeing up time anymore for everyone else to appear on TV because you've got superstars going back and forth.
You make a volatile situation potentially worse.
Pretty much take away the time that you could have been spending on these unhappy superstars and giving them to people who may be overworked.
Yeah. Bailey, for example, was nowhere on TV this week.
Oh, God. That's upsetting.
Yeah, so, you know, that's one very good example. Nakamura and Rusev were not on TV this week. So, you know, Buddy Murphy was relegated to a commercial break promo.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Jesus, fuck.
So, it's a shame. The wild card rule is doing more harm than good 1 week in.
But let's give, like, with all the things in wrestling, let's give it another week before we completely...
No, it's bad.
It is bad.
It's bad not just because it's bad, but because it is a knee-jerk reaction to...
Falling ratings,
and the impetus to do better ratings-wise. When all you have to do is fix everything by fixing it long-term.
Yeah, it's weird, because Triple H low-key acknowledged it on Twitter when someone tagged the McMahons. And said, the answer is to tell long-term stories or something along those lines. So he liked it. Tapos people made a fuss about it. So he unliked it.
He unliked it. How do we know? Wala na siya.
Someone screencapped it. Tapos nakita sa like tab.
Damn.
And wala sa like tab ni Triple H. So you know how petty people on social media can
people,
be.
People be detectives,
talaga.
Yo.
Yeah.
Not really. All you need is tweet deck.
No. I mean, to be looking at Triple H's likes.
Yeah, which you can do.
No. I mean, nakatutok ka sa likes niya.
You can find it
on their profile. But any public profile on Twitter can show you what they like.
The fact that you are staring at that thing and monitoring it.
A lot of people on the internet have a lot of time.
I know. No. Going back to what I was saying, the fact that they choose to go and make a panic about it and try to fix it in the short term is even worse.
Ah, yes.
Kasi nga, something like this can only be fixed via long-term solutions.
Uh-huh. So, I'm really disgusted with how Raw and SmackDown panned out this week. As in, naburat ako, like, for the first time in a really long time.
I wasn't disgusted with SmackDown's ending, main
yeah,
event.
SmackDown is, SmackDown just is still the doing... Still the doing better show.
Yeah, but like even for its standards, it did not do well.
It did not do well.
Oh, sure.
So I'm thinking, but like, Sammy, fuck, do I need to invest time in 205 again or NXT?
Oh, yeah,
UK?
Sure.
NXT, and, no, just switch over from the main shows to the other three shows.
Yeah, yeah. The network shows are generally untouchable because
yes.
they're not under any
rated.
Pressure. Yeah, they're not.
They're
no,
not
no,
rated.
They are rated, actually. They
ah,
are,
yes.
They are rated
based
by
on streams.
The streams on the network. Pero, as usual, I think they're freer to experiment on the long-term solutions
True.
Over there.
Either that or, you know, I actually can't wait for AEW's whatever
oh,
they have up their sleeve.
I am waiting for the AEW program this week.
Kung
actually,
meron man, yeah.
Ne, meron daw.
What? The program?
The TV. They're
what?
Working on a TV deal.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
TV
what I said. Yeah, that's what
I'm
waiting
no,
for.
I'm
clarifying.
No, I thought you said there was like a TV special.
No, I didn't say that. But like I know Lucha Underground is gone because that used to
is
be my palate
water,
cleanser.
Yes,
that used to be my palate cleanser for wrestling.
Yeah.
So now I'm looking for something new. So I don't know. We'll see.
Hey, impromptu survey question for anyone listening to this: would you go to an AEW viewing party? Not necessarily for Double or Nothing because it's on the same day as
Revolution X.
But you know, for the next show, whenever that may be.
That would be Fight for the Fallen.
Is that an AEW branded show?
That's an AEW branded show that is happening, I think, in about June, July.
Okay, so yeah.
Around July 4th.
Basta sa kanila yun.
Kanila yun, and that's the next one after this one.
So it's probably going to be a fight. So if would you ever be interested in watching a standalone AEW show in a viewing party?
Let us know on social.
Hit us up on social media. You know where to find us.
Yeah, it's at the SGP Podcast, at Rose War, at Caveman Camus, and at _ Stan C.
Just doing a little market research.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about Lars Sullivan and how he is a very hot topic on Reddit these days.
More oofs.
Yeah, there have been
oofs this week.
There have been screenshots and active threads, active forums, and hinukay ng mga fans about his questionable remarks about a lot of issues, from racist remarks to
sexist
anti-LGBT
remarks.
To sexist yes. remarks, to remarks against Daniel Bryan, against Alberto Del Rio,
Damn,
AJ
really?
Styles, Zack Ryder,
to being an absolute creep on some women wrestlers' profiles.
For those who don't know, when were these comments made? How long ago?
Five, six years ago.
Before he was a WWE superstar.
Five, 6 years. And then
na sign na siya.
Yes.
While
he was in NXT.
I kind of get a little bit if you were not signed with WWE before, but while you were with NXT, that's the stupidest shit you can pull.
Because there are shit posts that the likes of Cedric Alexander, what's his name? Ricochet did used to post back in the day.
Oh,
which are a little bit more forgivable because it's not racist. It's just, haha,
fuck you, WWE. You're just young and dumb.
You're young and dumb and you're not... It's directed at WWE.
Yeah.
So, the thing about yung posts ni Lars is they're on this forum called forum.bodybuilding.net.
Yes.
Which has wrestling threads all
right.
over it.
Right, right.
His account is called El Perfecto. That's his handle.
His alleged handle.
So yung pang-connect ng mga tao is there was a thread na pinapakita nila like how do I look like right now based on my routine.
So he posted a picture.
A picture of himself and halatang si Lars yun. All
right.
So that's how people put two and two together. So he had so many comments. He even had comments about people dealing with mental illness. Kind of ironic.
Uh-huh.
Totoo yun, and you know.
Yeah.
The reported issues about his mental health.
You were the chosen one, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But we didn't choose him.
I did, because, you know,
mental
anxiety,
health.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Big E had something to say on Twitter.
Because he got added. I think somebody brought it up. Big E, what would you do if these allegations are proven correct? And Big E made a big deal about it, as he does with a lot of locker room deals. So, to quote...
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up the quote right now. It wasn't just Big E. Even Kalisto said something.
Kalisto said something also.
I guess Kalisto was tagged in a tweet.
Thing. Because both of them are very vocal about their stances on minorities.
Big E just basically said that...
Many are aware, quote, many are aware, if true, He, referring to Lars, has to bear the albatross of being a bigot and working in a company that is now filled with minorities.
Albatross.
End quote.
And then the Callisto tweet, if you can.
Yes, let me put up the Callisto. You better get out of my way because I'm Latino. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
I don't know, but
And the Jericho Goldberg, but
I don't know. Well, probably.
At the end of the day, kasi, Lars is very clearly in the wrong on multiple levels.
Allegedly. Or
allegedly. Yeah. Because anyone who espouses this... It's not just bigotry. It's borderline... I don't know what it is. It's just bad.
Yeah, it's a very bad look
it's
on WWE. But then again, it's the same company. Badong.
It's badong levels.
It is the same company that just this week has allowed one of their commentators to tell a female commentator that she was not paid to think.
Well, to be fair, that was just probably them talking about, you know, them as commentators.
Yes.
Not having an opinion.
Yes.
Not necessarily because she was a female.
There is that. Because Lars, like, if you go through some of it, and I went through about, I'd say...
I went through about 10 minutes
of the threads. And it's like, you look at it...
It's very problematic.
It's not just problematic, it's very hateful.
Yeah, he said that ADR got pushed only because he was Mexican. He said that Daniel Bryan just got one word over. Like, anyone can say yes, anyone can say no. He said AJ was too old and too small. I think he also made some disparaging remarks about AJ Lee and her ass.
Yes.
Wow, that is like some...
He said she looked like a transgender or something.
Not that it's petty. It's more like there is so little, or he is so narrow-minded about the business. In the business he's supposed to, you know, try to find success in.
In the business that is feeding him.
Yeah, exactly. But he doesn't understand so much about being a wrestler. Yep. If that is the kind of comments he makes.
Yep.
Yeah. So there. Yeah, you should see it. You know, give it two
see
or three minutes
yourselves.
Of your time.
If you're on Reddit, it's not hard to find.
Yeah, it's not. So we will keep you updated if napatunayan kay Lars nga talaga yon. I'm not sure what's gonna happen.
I wonder though if people already knew about this from before, if the fellow wrestlers knew about this from before.
Okay, I'm not sure. We've kind of seen that WWE doesn't have a good track record of investigating on these matters. Yeah. Look at the Enzo Amore situation from a couple years ago.
Oh, oof.
Dun pa lang eh.
From a year ago, dude.
From a year ago. Thank you.
Yeah, kasi I saw a tweet saying Leo Rush gets heat for speaking up about not wanting to give water to veterans. And then
it
gets taken off TV.
No,
Lars does this and then is still getting a push. But we only found out about this, what, today?
Yeah.
So how could he still have a... I mean, how could they act on it?
And saka, I think for something like this, in tipong kay Leo Rush kasi, people can tell you about it straight up.
Yeah.
Like, if this is behavior that they've observed and noticed firsthand, talent or people backstage can tell you. But with the Lars thing... How can you even connect the dots and investigate that this is his digital footprint?
Hmm.
Unless you have actual solid concrete proof.
Right.
At this point, we're all still saying terms like allegedly and reportedly in relation to the topic.
That's
so
true.
And it feels very much like Enzo Amore before. Like when we were talking about him.
Yeah. So I think the safest stance at this point is to say innocent until proven guilty, but that whatever comments were made by El Perfecto are clearly reprehensible.
Uh-huh. Yes. And also at the same time, don't be a jackass online.
Yep.
Unless you're in character and you're portraying a character, and it's very clear that you are the character.
How do we know, Thomas, if it's very... How do we know that it's very clear?
Kasi nagkakayfabe off yung mga, right, you know, right. Like, especially in the local context, nagkakayfabe off tayo with our accounts.
Okay.
So, it happens. So, just one last thing on Wrestling Reddit. So, that's how I found out that Alexa Bliss and Buddy Murphy are no longer engaged.
What?
Yeah.
Did you not catch that?
No, I did not.
Oh, wow. This flew under your radar.
Wow, sir. For the man who writes the grapevine, I'm like, whoa.
Oh, my.
I only write the grapevine once a week, sir.
Top G Chito.
It's big.
Yeah, but it's not something I would write about on the grapevine. It doesn't move anything in the wrestling business.
So, cue all of the guys out there saying, finally, chance ko na to.
Akala nyo, sir.
Sit down.
Be humble.
And check yourself.
Because Alexa Bliss is a goddess.
Yeah.
There is that, guys.
Well, Corey Graves is all tied up right now.
Nabaubo ko dyan. Okay, moving on.
Right, so that's going to do it for this week in wrestling, I guess.
Oh, good.
If you have anything you want to share with us, any comments, you know where to find us on social media. We've left our digital footprint, and we try to keep that as clean as possible.
For the most part.
Yeah, in just a few seconds, we'll talk about Taboo Tuesday from 2004.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte, and you're with Stan, Roe, and Raph on the SGP Podcast. Woo! All
right, let's talk about Taboo Tuesday, gentlemen. 2004 was the time thing. I got into wrestling. And
we were 14, 15.
Yeah, we were in... Well, Camus and I, we were in first year high school at Xavier.
I was in third year high school? 14, yes. Second year.
Yeah, so I was just getting into wrestling at the time. I remember, and I think this applies to all of us, it was shown on tape delay.
Yes, 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah, so how did you guys work around that? Or how did you reconcile what you saw on TV with what was supposedly going on in real time outside the country?
Oh, I visited all the websites. I checked all the results every Monday and every Friday. Every Tuesday, every Friday. Yeah. For Raw, for SmackDown. That was for Saturday when SmackDown became Friday night.
Yeah.
And I knew, and then it took me a while to figure out, now, okay, this wasn't, what was on TV wasn't what was happening on the internet.
Yeah, because like with me, naman, it was more of, I wasn't that purse markety about results and all of that.
Oh, neither was I, yeah.
Like, but I would check the WWE website from time to time, and then it's like, oh, okay, so, oh, we're behind a bit.
Yes,
and
we are.
That's when you find out, oh wait, we're living in the past.
Yeah, and then I figured out, I had to hard calculate how far we were.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know. Nobody told me. Nobody told you. 3 weeks away. Yeah. 3 weeks removed.
Did it ruin the experience? Now you would spoil yourself 3 weeks in advance, and then papanoorin mo yung show. Because for me, what I would do was I would get the reactions. When I saw the result, Chris Jericho defeated Christian. Oh, putang ina,
yeah,
Jericho.
Same.
So I would do that, right? And then I would still watch because I would want
to
know
still
how.
You see how.
I'd look at the pictures and I'd be like, oh, Tori Wilson did this. Oh, I'd want to see how she got from point A to point B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? So you know, that's how maybe we're also okay with with wrestling spoilers, because we went through that period of time.
It's not as though, you know, especially in like our case where the internet was fast enough that you could have torrented. Torrents didn't exist.
And live streams didn't exist.
And live streams
either,
didn't
yeah.
exist either. So there was no other way. So you know that if you want to watch this, and also at the time, you couldn't video stream properly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Na parang every attempt for like an AOL live chat, because that was still a thing. That was still a thing. And video chat wasn't... Parang at most, you'd get maybe under 30 seconds if you're lucky.
Yeah,
of uploads.
If your video wasn't on YouTube, it
there was
really
no, there
hard
was,
to
there
access
was barely
your video.
YouTube. That was infancy of YouTube, and nobody really knew how to use it at the time.
But then, like 5 years later, broadband was stable enough for me to have live streamed like a WrestleMania.
Yes.
So it was as early as what, 2008, 2009, by
then. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch my first live Mania until I would say 2011, I guess.
Well, I was gonna say my first live Mania was through Sky Cable, because they were doing a couple of broadcasts here and there.
Pay per view.
In the movie theater, and then they did one live at Trinoma.
Yeah, I remember that.
You remember that one?
I wasn't there, but I remember that.
I invited you to that one.
I don't remember
because
that.
I had passes.
Ang naalala kong pinatang sa sinehan.
No, because I was working as an intern at the time.
Okay.
Ang naalala kong pinanood ko sa sinehan was WrestleMania 23, Detroit.
Yes.
Okay.
Batista versus Undertaker. I remember my dad going with me to the mall kasi pareho kaming summer break nun.
Yeah.
So, there. That was kind of how wrestling was at the time.
That was very weird. That was the lay of the land.
It's just the way it was.
Yeah. Ito rin yung time na ang daling kumuha ng wrestling shirts.
Yes.
Because if
you go to they were everywhere.
Yeah. Mass produced siya, and you couldn't tell that it was fake.
Yeah.
Because probably they were being printed here.
Yeah.
There's a very high chance that the shirts were still being printed
here. Ang daming bootleggers, and I don't know why.
Or how.
Yeah.
Why or how. But then that's the thing. Na parang you could still get the I'm Your Papi shirt.
You could have gotten
that in Green Hills for about $250.
Which I did. I still have that I'm Your Papi shirt, even though it's a size too small now.
Yeah, mga ganun impression niya before. Sobrang mura. And then when you hold it up against the real thing, obviously you can tell the difference. But with
it's not that bad.
Yeah,
guys.
Yeah. Standing alone, it looks legit.
Yeah. Remember, you know, Source of Strength shirt, me
HD. Oh yeah, that ugly shirt.
So I actually have that. I got that from the Changge Din. So you know, some of these shirts, okay, but in quality, like I have the Source of Strength shirt, and hindi siya basahan type today, right? Yeah. So yeah, that was the lay of the land in 2004. And then somewhere after SummerSlam, they introduced the concept of Taboo Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the idea was, we're going to present you three options, whether it's opponents, stipulations, or weapons of choice.
Oh, God.
Outfits. And it would be up to you, the fans, to vote for whatever you wanted to see.
All right, unfortunately, so we weren't in that three-week window to vote.
No, we
I'm
were.
Pretty sure I got to vote.
I got to vote. Yeah, I got to vote.
Maybe for 05, but not 04.
No, 04. Again, we spoiled ourselves.
Yeah,
so
I
we
remember.
Knew the thing was happening.
We would always go to WWE.com.
Because during this phase, I remember like when it came out, I'm like, hey, why didn't I get to vote?
No, I'm pretty sure I voted.
You can put it on the website.
Yeah. No, for like a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you can register.
You need to register.
By the way, did you remember that WWE ran their own fantasy game?
Oh, no, I don't remember.
On the website.
I don't remember.
On
this.
The website.
Alam ko lang may power rankings.
I remember the power rankings there. That's...
They ran their own fantasy game. Real quick aside. It's not like the way we do it now. It's more of... whether they score based on in-ring actions. Mm, and to go to coincidence, it was also really hard to predict.
Oof.
Yeah, I remember voting for some of those. Like, I'm not going to lie, I voted for the Diva outfits. I voted for, I think, Benoit to face Triple H. Because I was a big Benoit fan at the time.
I think we all were.
I voted for Edge.
This was also you pre your love affair with Edge, no?
Yeah, I was beginning to become a fan of Edge palang at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I voted for Benoit at the time. I don't remember who I voted for as Intercontinental Challenger. We'll get to it as we go through the card.
There were so many.
Yeah, there were 8 matches on the card.
Yeah.
And let me just say this right now. I will take the L because it was a bad show.
Why did you nominate this show?
I wanted to nominate something from 2004.
Okay.
Because a landmark year for us. I would say generally.
Okay.
That's
one. Could have been other better shows.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought of Taboo Tuesday because there was something that came to mind. You know how the concept of letting the fans book the show essentially was so novel at the time.
Yes.
But in retrospect, is probably ineffective. And like, if you're the promoter, parang ang laking problema din siya on your part.
If you don't give them good choices.
Yeah. So, what happened typically, like, if you take a look at the choices of Taboo Tuesday, normally it was, like, one obvious choice and two random choices now.
Oh, yeah.
More often than not, hindi siya mananalo. And I say more often than not because in one of the matches, the obvious choice did not win.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it took me, it also gave me a flashback to 2015 when I went to the Singapore Live event with Red Olero.
Yes.
And there was actually a match between Kane and Ziggler. And then they let the fans decide on his tip. So it was a
choice. For the weapons.
No, it was a choice between a tables match,
okay,
another match I don't remember, and a Singapore street fight.
And obviously,
because it was in Singapore, obviously in the Singapore street fight, they went for the cheap
branded,
pop.
Yeah, the branded match tip got the win.
Yeah, so thinking about that, I was like, putang, napaka obvious in retrospect, but at the time, in 2004, I didn't know na that's how it worked. Mm-hmm. That there was clearly one sure win,
mm-hmm,
but they could at least plan for that beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So that was how Taboo Tuesday worked, and like looking back at it now, it's pretty hokey. Design wise, it was so dated.
Mm. It was.
Oh yeah.
The binary code, the keyboard. Na, instead of
the
QWERTY,
keyboard,
it was WWE RTY.
Alam mo, buti na lang di siya dial up.
DSL.
No. Dial up modem. Shout out to Ken Warren.
Oh God. Why are we giving him more shoutouts?
Because he's still on dial-up, Kamas.
Naka-Pacific internet pa siya.
Putang ina Pacific.
My cards pa siya.
ISP Bonanza, yo.
So,
I don't think he even gets that reference.
No, he probably doesn't.
I'm sure he... he has to.
No, I'm pretty sure he doesn't.
Oh, God.
Ken Warren, hit us up on social if you do.
Pretty sure he was 8 at the time.
Oh, that's old enough.
Okay, moving on. So
moving on.
You take the L. You take the L for this.
Yeah,
choice.
Yeah. I take the L for this choice. But apparently, a lot of people decided that Taboo Tuesday would be the show to watch.
Yeah.
What is yours?
My nomination was New Year's Revolution 2006, aka Edge won the WWE Championship
First cash in.
Yeah, the first ever Money also, in the Bank cash in.
Wasn't that the first Elimination Chamber?
No, that was 2002 Survivor Series.
Okay.
Yeah. Tumatak lang Elimination Chamber because that's what Cena
that's
had
what
to
that,
go
through.
Yeah,
yes.
Cena ended up being really bloody after that. And Camus.
I picked Heatwave, ECW Heatwave 96, and that was pretty fun for me just because, like, I want to talk about ECW in its heyday when it was good.
Oh, yeah.
Before it went to shit, before WWE got involved, because there are so many ECW gems that I appreciate a lot more now in, like, our semi-mature fandom. Instead of
in
just
actual
like,
wrestling training.
In actual wrestling, as an actual wrestling trainee, it's like, it's fun to watch in hindsight because, you know, for so many people, you just have a couple of, like, the two reunion shows and whatever was put out by WWE ECW. This is one of the, this is probably their best pay-per-view show.
We also had a write-in option for the poll, and then some of you guys gave some pretty good suggestions. Ricky Publico, our SmackDown reviewer, suggested SummerSlam 2002, The Rock versus Brock Lesnar, right?
That was good.
Chino Liao suggested WrestleMania 20, although
obvious reasons.
Major obvious if we did WrestleMania 20 for the first time. Kel Fabi suggested Bash at the Beach 2000.
That was
a train wreck.
That's hate watchable. But yeah, they're
different than Nananja.
Nananja with this other suggestion, Victory Road 2011.
Oh, that was
Jeff Hardy and Sting.
Jeff Hardy and Sting. So when we do this again, we will take those suggestions into consideration because
you know what?
For sure, we love watching these old things now.
We should do a best of, like, I think this is a quarterly thing.
Sure. Why not?
So let's go through the actual card.
Okay.
And see, like, how awful it can get.
Okay, so you had the very first thing that they voted for was the Fulfill Your Fantasy outfits.
No,
it was. That was the first.
That was the first segment.
That came up the first segment.
On the show.
Martin, it wasn't the first match.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so it was the nurse attire, cheerleader mesa, I don't remember, and the schoolgirl outfit. And the schoolgirl
French
outfit.
Maid,
French maid, cheerleader, schoolgirl.
Yeah.
Oof. Which in, you know, it will not fly in 2019.
Yeah. No.
Very hard to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, I gotta admit, 14-year-old Stan was like, fuck yeah.
Stacey Keebler, yeah.
Stacey
Keebler,
Trish. But
I couldn't imagine Jazz doing this match.
Jazz did this match.
Yeah, I know.
Sadly.
Jazz did this match.
And she was like ripping off her sleeves going down the ramp.
One, I didn't know Jazz was still in the company at that time. I thought she was done like after Mania or before Mania.
And a surprise Gail Kim appearance.
No. I knew.
No, she was on the Raw brand demon at the time. But what a disservice to Gail Kim to have to put her through that.
Yes.
Actually, Gail Kim and who else? Molly Holly.
Yeah, sapayon, Molly Holly.
Oh,
so she also had to go through that shit. Really tough to watch as a 29-year-old in 2019.
But yeah, so that was the first thing. They paraded everyone out on stage and then was like, this is what you're dressing up as after.
Yeah.
Not gonna work, guys.
So objectify, diba? Okay, next was Chris Jericho defending his Intercontinental Championship against
Sheldon
X.
Against X. And this was like, there was 18 competitors.
Ito yung vote na could have gone anyway at all.
Yeah, so the top three contenders, I believe, were Shelton, who won, Batista, and Coach Ba? Yeah, I think.
Coach was in the running, but was not top three.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure if you noticed this, but going through yung faces of the wrestlers who were in contention, sobrang nakakaawa yung middle stretch. Yung mga walang paki mga tao sa nila. Like, Rodney Mack. Crickets.
Rodney Mack was still in the company
yes,
at that time.
At that
I did not know.
Chuck Palumbo. Crickets.
Yeah.
Sobrang kawawa, diba? And then you see somebody like Rhino. Mm. Na puta parang Rhino from 2019 lang yung tsura niya.
Yes.
Well, sobrang pareho pa rin.
Well, shorter hair now.
Yeah.
And then, but you look at it, and then it's like there are guys like Tajiri who were like, oh, he's still here. Hi, Tajiri. Like, you still have a job. You still have employment. And at this point, you know, he's coming to MWF like in a week.
Mm-hmm.
In a week, which is a nice reminder. Like when I saw him pop up, I'm like, look, the Jiri had WWE employment in 2004.
Yeah.
So
he did. Of course he did.
Oh, he wouldn't be released until a few years after.
After that, yeah.
So Shelton Benjamin wins, and he comes out.
It was a hometown. It was a hometown crowd. Also, that's the thing.
Hometown, but was it in South Carolina?
No, it was in Milwaukee.
No, but I remember them like commentary bringing it up a lot. Na parang it's like in front of his hometown.
No, Shelton is from Orangeburg, South Carolina. So pretty sure it's not.
But I remember. Why do I remember? It's in my notes for some commentary. Reason,
yeah. Why is it in your notes?
I don't know. It came up.
So Shelton in 2004.
Yes.
Remember how hot he was at the time?
Yes.
He was really in it.
Charlie Haas was. Just removed, no?
No,
he was on SmackDown.
On SmackDown.
So at the time, Charlie was with Rico.
Yeah, there you go. That thing.
Yeah, Rico, Charlie Haas, and Miss Jackie. Tapos si Shelton on his own on Raw, where he was facing the likes of Triple H and Chris Jericho, rising star.
Yeah.
So it's a shame looking back that they never really got to figure it out, like how to build Shelton as a serious main eventer. Considering that he was part of that rookie class that included John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Dave Bautista, Randy Orton.
Yes. I'm trying to think. Yeah, that's about it. Mm. He was one of the best wrestlers, like pure wrestlers at that time, full stop.
Yeah, yeah. So the match itself, you could tell, like even if you're not a wrestler, you could tell something was off. It was not your usual match.
It wasn't the cleanest.
I wouldn't say it was off. It was just something that we're no longer used to at this time. Speaking as a wrestler in training.
Yes.
The kind of wrestling kasi you used to now is polished and
crisp.
And not that it wasn't crisp, yung what we saw in that match.
Because
but more
it,
of
yeah.
What we see now is planned in advance.
Sobrang nakakapaan sila in that match.
Yeah.
And you could see that.
And it was just the way they worked before. Yeah. It's the old school style of working each other on the fly.
Hindi lang yun. Jericho legit didn't know who he was facing. And he talks about this on Talk is Jericho.
Yeah,
I remember this.
And his book.
To the point where even you finish ni Shelton, hindi niya alam. Oh. So he had to ask Shelton right there while towards the finish.
No. He asked the ref.
Right before.
I think it was Mike Chioda.
A very young Mike Chioda.
Mike Chioda, who you saw the spot where he approaches Mike Chioda.
Yes.
Before the match starts, that's it.
What's his finish?
What's his finish? So yeah, and Jericho himself would tell you at the time he didn't know how to take the T-bow. So it was very interesting to watch it unfold, knowing these things now at the back of your head.
But yeah. Shepard, if you don't know until we just told you that, you know, it was on the fly, you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't have guessed.
You thought that it was just another match. They put out a decent effort, and they are the pros that WWE signed.
I was actually going to say, I think it's a little bit more than decent effort. Like, there were two callbacks that I really enjoyed in this match, which were the Lion Salt, the hit, the big Lion Salt miss, and then the second time that he actually hits it, and you see that spot, and you just realize, holy shit, Jericho could go so hard in
04. What the hell?
No, in 04. When you watch him now,
he's old now.
That's why.
I don't doubt that at all. I remember yung match na to, I don't remember much of it, but I remember really popping for the Shelton win.
Yes.
Kasi,
he deserved it. It's like, oh yes.
It's his time.
And you'd think that, okay, finally they're building up to him being a big star and all of that.
Yeah.
Ito rin yung time in WWE, this 03-04 stretch, where yung mga Canadian guys na babyface, they would build them as being from the States.
Okay, this was mentioned on Pritchard's podcast.
Yes, yes. So Jericho was billed as being born in Manhasset, New York. Uh-huh. Christian resided in Florida. Benoit resided in Atlanta, Georgia. Okay, what
none
do you guys
which,
think
none
about
of which
this?
Were no, no, no. lies.
Ang sabi nila, okay, before we talk about this, ang sabi nila, I also thought it was strange until I heard it on the podcast. So they said that, our Pritchard said that, these guys just wanted to be built from somewhere or from a place that people know.
Yeah, because not everyone knows where Winnipeg is.
Or Calgary or whatever.
Yeah. The thing there naman was that none of these things were lies. Jericho was born in New York.
Yeah, because his dad is playing for the Rangers.
And I think he brings it up a couple of times na he did get billed from New York for a stretch. And I think this was part of that stretch.
Yeah, to me, speaking as a guy who is proud of his hometown, I would have just gone for the hometown.
Yeah, I always found it weird. Parang, eh, ano ngayon if you don't know where Manila is? Ano ngayon if you don't know where Norwich, England is? Eh, di alamin mo.
Ngayon, malalaman mo dahil sa akin.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're so good. Oh, now I want to know where Bray County, Wicklow, Ireland is.
If you don't identify with the place, di ba?
Then it's fine.
No, it's not fine. If you don't identify with the place,
I thought as a wrestler.
No, if you don't identify with the place that you are claiming to be built from, especially if you're pretending that it's your shoot hometown, then you're just posing.
Yeah, and for me as a fan, like, I love it when I associate a city with a wrestler. Like, when I was in SoCal just last month or a couple of months ago, nasa Huntington Beach kami, I keep thinking Samoa Joe. That's nice. Good branding.
That is good branding.
And it also helps you out geographically. Parang, okay, this is where I am in the States.
It's touristic also.
Well, yes. I mean, depending on where you are. I mean, if someone's built from Compton, I'm not sure they're like from Compton.
Hey, it's not that bad now.
Yes, with gentrification.
So obviously, it's in a... Siyempre, kung gimmick din yung hometown mo.
So there. I just always thought it was strange. And 15 years later, I still find it strange. Mm.
Okay.
Okay, any other thoughts on this one before we move on?
Mike Yoda looked so young.
Of course.
Like, he still had youth in his eyes.
Yeah, it was 15 years ago, Thomas.
I know, but
pretty sure you also had youth in your eyes 15 years ago.
I still do sometimes. Mm. But okay, like, the transition from this match actually went into the reveal for who would be in the tag team match and who would be in the championship match against Triple H.
Yes, yeah. So it was Benoit, Edge, and HBK.
In a segment that was hosted by Todd Grisham.
I realized how much I miss Todd Grisham.
Yeah, that's the thing. Apparently, when you watch, and this is something like, as you know, we've all three of us in this room have done a little bit of production work for wrestling, and you watch it, and you're just like, wow, Grisham was more than competent, and knew when to just be, you know, not just the layout there, but how to ask the right questions and when to stop asking questions.
I think my only nitpick with Todd Grisham was how he appeared on camera without his blazer on. hindi ko matanggap na katanggap-tanggap at the time na naka long sleeves polo ka lang tsaka necktie.
That's true.
Hindi ko siya matake.
That's true. But the thing that I'm trying to say here was that they gave promo time to all three guys.
Yeah.
And what made me cringe the most was that, one, both Edge and HBK, because they were wearing their shirts at the time, had some of the ugliest fucking shirts that I've ever seen. It's just black and then white logo, and it looks like a metal band logo.
No, I did like Edge's shirt at the time.
I did not. I do not.
I remember that shirt.
I actually like the 4E logo. Especially because I always kept thinking, I'm Chris Benoit and I'm for real.
No,
which in retrospect is now really, really dark.
But the thing was, Benoit wasn't wearing a shirt.
Yeah, he was not.
He was not.
He had the 4E logo though on his
tights. On his tights.
Yeah. But the time, it was weird na napaka lukewarm na ng reactions towards Chris Benoit.
Yes.
Considering that just half a year before that, he was a world champion.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You also watch how gruff he tries to appear like in his promos, and it's cringy at points.
Is it cringy because
you know that he's gonna murder his wife and kid? That's why.
Because to me, I thought it was, you know, normal Benoit.
It's normal. Yeah, it's normal.
It was just me. It was just him being awkward.
But in hindsight,
Benoit
now,
back then, for you know, well, absent everything that happened.
Double murder, homicide, suicide.
I was trying not to.
Just bring it up.
I remember him as being a very awkward talker.
Yes. Because he was always a guy in all business. Diba? No. Just get in the ring, wrestle, get out.
Yep.
See, Edge naman...
Hala pa ng promo niya.
Yes!
I forgot at the time that Edge was already good on the mic.
Yeah.
In 2004.
Pretty good. And the thing was, as a promo, like, this is basically the one promo you need to watch from this show. And the subsequential Crazy Edge.
So hindi na one. So hindi na one. Dalawa na.
Okay, fine.
Crazy Edge.
So this really did plant the seeds for Crazy Edge, which is a character I'd grow to love all the way until his retirement. So it was nice seeing all of this, get kickstarted as early as Taboo Tuesday.
Okay.
So after this, you had the Women's Battle Royal, Fulfill Your Fantasy,
which was not even over the top.
That's
what kills me here.
Yeah, it wasn't over the top.
It was just both feet touched the floor. That's it.
That's it.
But it was a roll out ka lang.
It was mercifully short.
It's mercifully short, and it featured And I really don't remember when or where she came in. Who was Nidia?
Nidia was a tough enough winner.
Yeah. Okay, there.
She was with Jamie Noble earlier in the year. Yung nabulag siya, tapos nagkaroon siya ng eyesight ulit. And then they had that blow-off match at No Way Out where Jamie Noble was blindfolded.
Yeah. I really did
and
not remember
I did not
her.
Know that Nidia was on, was moved to Raw.
She was after the WWE draft. So, Nidia Gennard. She was the winner, the female winner of Tough Enough 2.
Okay, that's a trivia question for a future
quiz night.
Okay. Yeah. Because when you watch this, the only thing that really stands out to me was that, well, Molly Holly still looks great.
Yeah.
Gail Kim was more than serviceable in this match. And that Victoria was always going to be great. But and that Stacey Keibler was not as incompetent as some people made her out to be.
So there were two things that I took away from this match. The first being this was around the time that Victoria dropped the tattoo song as her theme, you know, all the things she said. And it really made me sad because I loved it.
Yeah, that was the only song. Yeah, that was the only song that we knew
that people paid for. That WWE paid for at the time.
So, well, aside from yung mga Limp Bizkit songs on the 80s. You know, I love that there was a mainstream song and it was by two apparent lesbians at the time.
No. Marketed as lesbians.
That's what apparent means.
So there was that. She kind of dropped it around this time. And looking at Trish in this match, she was kind of the Alexa of her time.
Yes. I got the
parallelism.
Yeah. I got some huge Alexa vibes from Trish at the time.
Diba? She was Alexa before Alexa, now that I think about it. And the similarities are all there. Not very tall, voluptuous body, blonde, physical fitness background, bodybuilding background. Blonde. So it's all there.
White. There's that going for you.
It was, I wouldn't say creepy, but it's sort of striking the fact that all three of us saw that parallelism.
Yep.
Right? All right. Anything else
She mercifully retains, and it was mercifully not dragged out.
Yeah. Anything else before we move on?
Nah.
Can we get to... Because this is probably like the lowest point.
Which was... I don't think Kane and Snitsky was the lowest point.
That's what's next.
Yeah, but it's not the lowest point.
I want to say it was the lowest point.
Hindi pa tayo peak R-word.
Okay.
Okay, so Kane versus Snitsky in a chain match. It was a choose your weapon match. The choices were the lead pipe, the steel chair, and the chain. So watching this, I thought, it's obviously going to be the chain. Apparently, it wasn't the case.
No. Because when you watch the video package that comes before it, and it's a really good explainer on the whole "it's not my fault" angle, you can see that they were using the chair.
Yes.
And they thought that by using the chair, they would get the chair over as the winning option.
But they got... They got the chain.
And then when you would see the finish that involved
the chair
and
the throat,
which Kane did to HBK a few months back
at Bad Blood,
you can obviously tell at that point that it was supposed to be, they planned for the chair.
Okay, because like with me, my problem is, if it's a weapons match and the only legal weapon is supposed to be the chain,
doesn't this
become a DQ because they bring in the chair?
I was also writing that down, actually. See, I've always been afraid of yung spot na yun, yung nakaipit yung neck dun sa chair.
Yes!
After 15 years, I still don't know how to do it.
Ako rin eh. I was gonna ask you guys, and I was afraid what you would say to me since you're the guys who are training.
Because probably... Okay,
we don't do that shit in training.
Because I was gonna say, the only... like logical thing that I can think of is you have it hit the chest instead of the neck.
Hindi, kasi ano siya eh, pataas siya eh.
So ipit talaga yung leg doon.
Fuck, there is no.
So I have no idea how they did it. I don't know how.
Obviously, it's a blood packet somewhere.
No, that's what I was gonna say. Apparently, in this match, if you go back and watch it, that entire spot goes down with a blood packet because that's way too much blood to be coming out of your throat.
Yeah.
Even if you crush, and this is just the medical knowledge of mine, if you crush a windpipe, you won't get that much blood.
They have a blunt force trauma. It's not like you have internal bleeding.
Yeah, but even if you rupture the vessels here without killing the guy...
Yeah.
I think it's likelier you break their neck than you bust their windpipe.
Yes, that is the point here. You don't get that much blood, you murder a guy before you get that much blood out of that area.
If anyone knows how they do the spot, can you please let us know?
Yeah, we promise not to do it.
Yeah, we're not going to do it. Just want to know.
We swear. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I saw it the first time with HBK and Kane. And I still don't know how it's done.
Yeah, I'm in. So there. I remember JR calling Snitsky a son of a bitch on TV.
Yes.
And
because he still could.
Would not fly in 2019 like, except no, if you're Mauro Ronaldo. No, sobrang madalang na lang. Son of a bitch on commentary. No, I would not hear that.
On commentary.
Yeah. On commentary. Okay, fine.
Si Mauro nadudulas na lang siya, di ba? Like when he called Tommaso
a Ciampa, son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
Yes.
Pero like it's not something that you would hear. Say like that term, son of a bitch, got dropped by JR at least twice on that show.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
So there was that,
and there's so much blood. So yeah. It was clearly a different time.
Okay.
Yeah.
One other note that I have here is that Snitsky sort of walks to the back after like Kane starts spitting up blood, and then he walks back in and is like, no, we're gonna do the pin. And this is why it's like, on for me, this is the low point in the show, because it's god awful. There's so many things wrong with this match.
I can't believe na mas low pa yan.
And he comes back
than Eric Bischoff and Eugene.
Yeah.
Because with Eric Bischoff and Eugene, there was an emotional payoff.
No, the post match shenanigans took too long.
I separate those two because this was the actual match. The actual match was so god awful.
No, the actual match was 2 minutes.
No, I'm talking about Kane and Snitsky. Yeah,
sorry.
Now, the actual match, the finish was so hokey. The entire chair DQ thing messes with me, and I'm a stickler for things like that.
Yeah.
So, to jump to the next match, which is Bischoff and Eugene, mercifully short match. Shenanigans after another story.
Took way too long, yeah. So, the choices at the time were the loser must be the winner's personal butler for a month. Wear a dress or get their head shaved. So nakabobo siya. And I knew it was meant naman as a comedy spot. I got it. But in humor at the time, sobrang would not fly today.
It didn't fly for me back then.
Speaking of someone with a shaved head, how does becoming a butler for a month not win?
Oh, nga.
Diba?
Like, okay.
Diba, wouldn't that have more comedy potential on Raw?
It has more comedy potential, but the thing is, the ramifications are you get to see them come out for maybe
for four 15 episodes.
Minutes,
yeah.
4 episodes. Oh. That's a total of
you have one long-term story over there.
And if I were a writer, I'd love to write for that.
Exactly.
Shit. So I don't know how that wins.
That would have built up to a Survivor Series match.
Yeah.
Would have.
Ito pa. Oh. If I'm Eric Bischoff and I know I have a full head of hair, kung kinalbo mo ko ngayon, it'll grow back in a month.
Yeah.
Yung humiliation of being Eugene's butler
for a month. Or even the dress. Fine, the dress.
The dress, fine.
Given what it was back then.
Yes.
You're cross-dressing and Big Vito was a thing.
Yeah, Big Vito wouldn't be a thing until a year later.
I don't remember Vito being... anyway.
Eric Bischoff comes out in the gi, and then Eugene comes out and does his thing.
Fucking
gi. So
fucking black belt,
to be fair. Okay.
In quotes.
Can I just say that I like this match for what it was?
It was...
because Eugene... Nick Dinsmore, the wrestler,
behind
so
the character.
Good,
yes.
Is so good that he was able to carry Eric Bischoff
In a
passable
match.
2 minute match.
Okay, I've got two things about Eugene here. First thing is, ngayon ko lang na-realize na his theme was a Rocky theme ripoff.
Yes! Yes!
At the time, I was like, oh, okay, cool theme, right?
Cool, it was piano.
Oh, ngayon ko lang na-realize na, oh, fuck, it was a Rocky theme ripoff.
Yes.
Second was Eugene as a character was a can't win character.
Yes.
Kasi if you booed him, nung nag-heal siya, diba?
You're an asshole
because you booed a sped person.
Yeah.
Kung nag-cheer ka, that means he supported the ridiculing and the mockery of a sped person.
That's true. That's also true.
So Eugene, in retrospect, was such a can't-win character. I don't know how it flew in 2004.
It shouldn't have.
It was 2004.
It was a different time.
Can we just say that it was a different time?
It was
pre-Twitter. That is not a good excuse.
It was pre-Twitter, guys. But here's the thing. Here's the thing with the actual match.
I had some classmates actually cheer Eugene. And I don't know if they were doing it ironically or
out of
pity.
Oh, I remember cheering kasi nakakatawa.
Yeah. Probably.
Pure
boy. If he was a character.
What? Go, say it, sir.
I don't know.
If he was a character in 2019.
No, if he were a character in 2019, some people, I guarantee you, will be saying he was a pure boy. The same way they do for Tyler Bate.
So, Eugene beats, Eric Bischoff really
mercifully quickly.
And then Vince X Machina happens.
And this is what kills me about the post segment.
This is face Vince at the time.
Vince is a fucking face. How in the world is Vince
a
even...
Face?
No. at that time, how much bullshit did we go through for him and Austin to end up here? And it's like, haha, yeah.
Except we have Bischoff. Bischoff is always a heel. Bischoff was never not right. a face. Yeah, I was never not a heel. Sorry.
That's right.
Yeah.
So but we, this part, when I saw it, when I watched it back, I'm just like, God, why is Vince so smarmy about it, and why are people cheering?
It's also sobrang dragging niya. Like, if you've ever watched anything wrestling, whether live or on TV, and you want to know the definition of a dragging segment, watch this.
Yeah, the whole part where Coach was trying to buy time for them, or to buy the different consequence for them.
Sobrang awkward.
Too long.
It goes for about Vince 15 minutes?
They should have just done it quick, and then Vince should have just come out and, you know, did what he had to do.
Yeah. And it's also kind of weird seeing Vince in a very loose suit.
Yeah, because he
was... Again, 2004 fashion.
2004 fashion, and also...
Everyone has a loose suit.
Apparently he wasn't peak bodybuilding yet.
No, I'm pretty sure he was in peak bodybuilding. He was huge. Yeah.
No, peak bodybuilding 2004?
I guess not, but he was huge.
Though. He was big. Because, like, I remember... When was the NBA suit rule enforced?
2005.
2005, okay. It's about the same time.
The dress code. Mm.
That's why. So
the
it's like
suit rule.
The suit rule. Yeah. That's why I was thinking, was it because of them that they had to... Never mind.
No, I don't think it was related at all.
Nothing was related.
Yeah. No, you saw pictures of Evolution back then.
It's bad.
Wapas lang DOM. I mean, you had Ric Flair, who was a legit DOM, but like everyone else, like Batista, Orton,
they look like DOMs. Suits were always like that.
Can I just say that I still see people... Yes. Who wear the collars popping out of their suits today.
In 2019.
And because I want to tuck them in and tell them, you are not a pimp. You are not a G.
You are not Tony Montana.
You are lame. Please tuck that fucking collar in.
You are literally, you're literally not Scarface.
Yeah. Why do you have wing collars in 2019?
Do I?
Please, sir.
I don't get it. Can we leave that in the early 2000s?
Okay, let's get to the actual... I don't know.
Okay, next was the tag team championship match.
Wrestling.
Edge and Chris Benoit defeat Lars Estance. That was Robert, Conway, and Sylvain Grenier for the World Tag Team Championship.
I forgot their first names.
No, I totally forgot Benoit did this by himself. He won by himself. I knew Edge walked out, yes. But I forgot that he won.
Sobrang galing ni Benoit. Like, yeah. When I'm watching this, I'm like, I remembered yung time na I was such a Benoit fan. And this was why. This match was the example of why. Stamina monster, number one. Two, he was a believable babyface. Mm.
Yes. Three, he was get behind him as an underdog.
Yeah. Three, he was a badass motherfucker.
Yes! There is that.
One would say.
Well, yes.
The entire match goes long enough to show that, to give you that impression.
It is
that
the longest
Benoit,
match on the show, actually.
Yes.
Yes, it is. At 16 minutes and 15 seconds, it is longer than the main event. The World Heavyweight Championship.
Wow, yes. I thought na mas mahaba yung kina Triple H.
No, you saw
Triple H.
You saw the Lars Estance heat.
They were taking so long with it, and that's one of the things that I have to, you know, give props to Benoit for, because even when he's taking his shots, you forget how well he sells.
Mm.
And it's one of those underrated things, because, you know.
And
double murder homicide.
And Lars Estance was being basic heels.
Yes.
They were not doing anything fancy. They were just beating Benoit up and cutting off the half of the ring, which is easier because Edge had to leave.
Yes.
So, you know, watching Conway and Grenier, napaisip ako, like, are there wrestlers like them today? Yung tipong makikita mo sila on WWE television and you'd be like, in 2 years, baka wala na to.
Yeah, all the time. You look at a random mid-carder. You will never, you know. It only so happens in recent times, the yearly spring cleaning thing didn't happen.
Yes.
Like,
in
the middle of this decade, the yearly releases stopped happening. Yeah. So
it's not an annual event.
But you would see so many random mid-carders who would either
disappear,
get buried, or release. Resign on their own.
Yeah.
Like, for example, the B team, Curtis Axel.
They're still there.
Yeah, they're still there, but if this were in the mid 2000s,
they'd be cut.
They would have been gone in a matter of years.
Fuck, the Ascension is still there.
Yeah, the Ascension's still here.
I was gonna say the Colognes are still here.
Yeah.
The Good Brothers are still here. So
yeah.
Don't fucking. No.
I'm sorry, but they're kind of on the same level now.
Yeah.
Okay, booking wise, yes, but talent-wise, house-show-wise, they have
their role. Yung mga mid-card players naman, they were always the good hands.
Yes.
It just so happens that they had no plans.
Yeah. You know, Conway would eventually be put on his own on Raw. He'd be the con man. He would have that theme song that I actually loved.
Yeah, that was a good song.
Yeah, I like that song. And then Grani would be the fashion model, Sylvain, without the eye. The metrosexual. That's where I learned the word metrosexual.
Yes. Really?
Thank you, Sylvain Grenier, for letting me learn the word metrosexual through you.
But this was, okay, to be honest, it was a nice feel-good moment for Benoit. You know,
yeah, he was the tag team champions.
Yes, he was tag team champions.
He was the tag team champion.
Before Kane and D-Bry made it a thing.
Hang on, real quick. Throwing real back to the results of the poll in this match. Edge scored higher than Benoit in the Triple H poll.
Yes.
That is weird to me.
Because maybe the kids who really liked Benoit at the time didn't have access to internet.
No, I don't think so.
No, because HBK won.
No, I think it was indicative of how they booked Benoit post-world title run. Sobrang lukewarm na ng booking niya. And Edge at the time was getting consistent spots in prominent positions. For example,
people didn't like him either.
Yeah, but he was Intercontinental Champion. He only turned heel at SummerSlam.
Oh.
Taboo Tuesday was October. Mm. SummerSlam was August.
Oh.
So 2 months pa lang since he turned heel.
So parang may cool factor siya.
I guess so, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And he didn't even turn heel na premeditated. Remember, he turned heel after he got booed in his own hometown.
Yeah.
So,
I remember that.
So I think that kind of explains why my residual
effect
pa on his popularity.
So and then we did get, at some point, we did get the Edge HBK promo backstage, no?
Yes, we did. So that happened. After Edge and Benoit won the championships, or after Benoit won the championships, we get what I thought was the lowest point of the show, Christy and Carmella.
Yes, that was.
It was what it was.
No, I wanted to because I wanted to have something to comment on.
Yeah.
For journalistic integrity.
So, because you are Mr. Journalistic Integrity.
No,
for those.
Never mind. Well, no, not exactly. Just, you know, for the purposes of this review.
Yeah, so Christy and Carmella, their stipulation was what they were supposed to wear, diba, in the match. Tama ba?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah,
so no, what they were supposed to do.
Ah, okay, yes. Okay. Yeah, so it was either a pillow fight or
an aerobics competition.
Or an evening gown match.
Evening gown match.
Yeah.
All three of which, again, were incredibly sexist for the time.
So,
yeah, guys.
It's funny how Carmella de Cesar is often forgotten as the OG Carmella. Especially how they booked as Carmella.
That's right.
Yes. They dropped her last name.
I had the same thoughts when NXT Carmella was debuted.
Are we just completely scrubbing Carmella de Cesar?
We are old.
Who was a legit Playboy playmate who was one of Hugh Hefner's girlfriends.
At the time,
yeah. So I went and looked for Carmella today. Like, where is Carmella de Cesar? She's now a mom of 3 or 4 kids.
Well, that's good.
She is a real estate broker. Not sure if she's based in, like, Cleveland or something. I'm sorry, I looked through her Instagram. That's where I found her.
Instagram stalking, pa, hindi man lang Wikipedia.
Yeah, no. Instagram is the best way to check up on someone.
Actually, yeah. Not even Twitter anymore, because a lot of people who used to be public figures would probably lay off of Twitter. But they will be on Instagram, because they can post pictures over there. So Carmella, often forgotten now. I guess only people our age and a bit older would remember who she is.
Or the ones, you know, who are really hardcore encyclopedic knowledge guys.
Yeah, if and
a certain former member of a stable.
Okay.
That is competing.
Yeah.
You forget that.
Who may come back? Who may or may not come back?
As the mystery member of the network.
They left it so open.
Because he did have an encyclopedic knowledge of wrestlers and their tenures.
So there's that, and then there's Chrissy Hemme. Chrissy Hemme,
who was also a Playboy.
Yeah, she got into Playboy though
after WWE.
Yeah. And she, to her credit, she stayed in the business.
Yes.
She went to TNA for a bit, diba? She did some announcing, and she also wrestled a bit.
I was going to say, just for clarification, in the wrestling business, not pornography.
Yes.
Not so, soft pornography.
I would say that Christy actually laid the groundwork for someone like Maria.
Kanellis. Yes.
Diba? The redhead from the Diva Search. That was really Christy.
Yeah.
Who made that archetype.
That archetype.
Thing.
Yeah, because before her, not much.
Yeah, so when they brought out Christy and Carmella, Coach told them what they were going to do and what they were going to wear. And they brought back yung silhouette thing from Judgment Day 2003.
Which was really not age-appropriate at the time for us.
Oh, definitely not.
Again, that's one of the things that I'm not sure how that flew. I'm not sure how
that got past censors, even locally at the time.
So I was watching this.
No, it wasn't anything enough. They probably did cut it, though.
No, no, no. I'm pretty sure they aired that in full because I remember seeing it in full. So I was rewatching Taboo Tuesday nung Sunday, and my mom was just in the other room. And so I could hear your reactions in a coach and JR, puppies! And talaga nag-uubad na sila and everything. Na parang, I'm pretty sure my mom thought, anong porn na naman to pinapanood din sa kabila.
Wait, your mom's...
No, my mom was just in the opposite room.
Okay, and she could hear it. I thought she actually walked in and said that.
He probably should have walked in.
Probably.
To find out that he wasn't watching porn.
Yeah, and I'm kind of hard of hearing now, so I have to kind of turn the volume all the way up. Just to understand what I'm hearing. So, there.
It's not porn!
So,
I'm not jacking off, man!
As awkward as that was, the match itself was way more awkward.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't a match.
It wasn't the match, that's the thing. It was an event?
It was a contest.
Yeah, and when Christy mercifully pinned Carmella, her shoulders weren't even down.
Yeah, which Kane saw and called out.
Mm.
And unfortunately, was still... ruled the end of the match.
Oh.
Okay, lah. I would have accepted that. Except
yeah, yeah.
Just get it over and done with.
Yeah, if there was ever something that resembled yung women's matches being the bathroom break, ito yun.
Yeah, it's pretty much it.
Okay, let's move on to the two matches at the end, which are actually really good and are still worth talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Triple H taking on Shawn Michaels for the World Heavyweight Championship.
You realize how good HBK is in doing his thing and being the babyface in peril who is
beaten up senselessly and fighting
from underneath. Also, it goes to, if you can't suspend your disbelief enough, you'll also find that HBK is the king of hokey wrestling.
Yes,
but. If you can, and if you just get behind the fact that he is going all out and being superhuman and all that, then it is one hell of a performance.
Yeah, there's something about Shawn Michaels that he really just draws you in.
Yes.
And makes you want to cheer for him.
Even if the match was always stuck in first gear for the whole thing. Because of the injury.
Quote unquote injury.
Yeah, this is one of the matches that for me, it was so easy to get into the story. Just latch onto it. I don't know why, but I don't necessarily get to latch onto the story as quickly as most people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have to shift gears, literally.
Yeah, I guess. Like when I'm watching the thing, diba? So like sometimes I'm just like, okay, so this is happening, and I'm just waiting for the finish. But in this case, I could actually see what they were doing now. Oh yeah, work on the leg, keep beating it senseless, and then apply a submission.
Mm. Yes.
Very simple. And then Batista comes in and Edge comes in and they do their thing. So napaka schmazzy niya and it's very typical WWE.
Slight overbook.
But they had to in order to get
crazy
get Edge over
with.
Yeah.
There were so many things that they were able to accomplish in getting all four guys involved.
Mm.
One was you reminded everyone that Batista was not doing anything that night
mm-hmm.
and that he was still in the service of Triple H.
Mm-hmm. And he was in his ring gear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was. Kasi, but
he was hypothetically
going to compete against Jericho. Two was you had to get Triple H over pa rin as the Kupal heel champion.
Yep.
Three, get Shawn over as the babyface without making him look super weak because he got injured. Na siya.
But he looked super strong, though.
I was going
to
say.
He did not tap out to a figure four.
Tapos nakapag-diving elbow pa siya.
Yes.
I mean, because this was coming off of... When was the last time that Triple H and HBK matched up prior to this? Was that during Shawn's return?
Royal Rumble, okay.
Oh. I was thinking,
no, they had the Hell in a Cell match.
Oh, that's Bad Blood, right?
Yeah, Bad Blood.
Which wasn't too far removed. Mm. Like, I'm just trying to trace it in my head.
Yeah, it wasn't their first.
It wasn't their first since he was medically cleared in the year. So there is something to draw from. So, I can see why some smarks, quote unquote,
would hate on this kind of match and go for like an ROH or New Japan style match because it was slow, not painfully, but to the point that everything was easily digestible, as you said yourself.
Yeah. But at this point, you have to also realize that even as a slow match and a digestible match, you got all four guys over at the end of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the fourth one was Edge. Crazy, vindictive Edge. And eto na, what we were saying just a few minutes ago was that this really laid the groundwork for the character that he would get as over as he could. Mm. Which was the crazy, violent, R18
live sex show, yeah, having, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Edge.
Yes.
Yeah, so he wasn't the rated R superstar yet, but nandun na.
The seeds were there.
He was starting to put it together, and I loved seeing that as an Edge fan.
Yeah.
Going forward from here, Triple H would continue holding the title until Batista took it from him at WrestleMania
Mania,
the following
the next year, which was a long ways away.
Yep.
Yeah, and Shawn Michaels would go on to face Angle naman at WrestleMania that same year. I don't remember much of what Shawn would do between Taboo Tuesday and WrestleMania, but I also don't remember.
Yeah,
I remember Triple H being in that 4-on-4 Survivor Series feud.
Yes.
Which led to that crazy month that the baby faces were the GMs.
Yes. Oh yeah, he was in that.
He had a week.
Mm. Yeah. So yung baby faces were, wait, was Shawn in the baby face team? Parang hindi.
It
was Maven, Randy Orton, Benoit, and Jericho.
Yeah. Yeah.
Versus Triple H, Batista,
Edge.
And fuck, I don't remember. I'd say Snitsky. I'd probably put my money on Snitsky. We can Google that right now, but yeah.
I will look it up right now.
Okay.
Go on.
In the meantime, let's. Any other thoughts on Triple H and Shawn Michaels?
There's nothing special about this. It doesn't deserve to be on a DVD. I don't think it deserves to be on a DVD because they've had much better matches.
Yeah, I agree.
On for much longer. But in the case of this, it's like one of those. You know, gems, but it's a very good storytelling HBK match.
Yep, Triple H, Edge, Batista, and Snitsky, Orton, Chris Benoit, Jericho, and Maven.
I was right.
Yep.
Damn it! Why is it always Snitsky?
Okay. Because it wasn't his fault, man.
Oh, it wasn't his fault. Okay, let's top it off with the main event, Ric Flair versus Randy Orton, and the choices were False Count Anywhere, No Holds Barred, yung base, ha?
No Holds Barred. No. To submission match.
Submission match, sorry. And the steel cage match.
Yes.
So I think the steel cage match is going to win, for sure. Because for one, nandun na yun eh.
Yeah. You, it's not an easy thing to assemble.
Yeah. Two, it was probably the most violent. I mean, you could make a case for the False Count Anywhere being super violent din. Pero yung steel cage, kasi nandun lang siya. They don't need
it's
to go out.
It's a structure, yeah.
And if you're a fan with visibility issues, hindi ka mapapachan ng dito naman. Dito naman, di ba?
Yeah.
Also, note to PWR fans, we're not getting a steel cage anytime soon.
Sorry.
Oh, wala tayong budget eh.
Wala din tayong venue eh.
Walang space.
We don't have an appropriate venue. We also don't have a budget, as John Sebastian has clearly stated.
Yeah.
So, this match between Ric Flair and Randy Orton was part of Orton's Evolution killing spree.
Yes.
At the same time, he was going after all the Evolution guys one by one.
Yes.
And it was nice looking back at this and seeing Orton as Legend Killer Orton taking on a legend in Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm. Who wasn't completely broken down also.
Oh. So watching that, I was giddy and excited. And then the color came out. I was like,
fuck, man.
I thought it was hilarious that they both
bled
that much. That quickly.
Because, fuck. If you've ever seen Ric Flair get stuck.
Yeah.
It's a recurring theme that Ric Flair, once bladed, will spill too much blood. This was one of those times it's like, that's a little bit much for you, old man. Yeah.
Natakot ako. I mean, kahit si Orton, like him bleeding the way he was, watching everything, I don't know why I didn't find it appalling in 2019, in 2004.
Because the bloodlust was there. It was normalized.
No, I would say it's bloodlust per se.
I would say that it did add to the match, though.
It does. It does.
Because when you strip it down, it wasn't more than a basic match.
Yeah.
I would have to say.
I agree.
There's nothing spectacular about it.
Yeah, there wasn't anything spectacular about it. And that's not in a bad way.
Yes.
I think yung pinaka-grabbing bump na that Orton took was when Flair bealed him over.
Yes.
From yung the top turnbuckle.
Yeah. So adding the blood.
No, not the cage.
Not the
top
cage, turnbuckle.
Turnbuckle,
yeah.
Adding the blood in that match definitely helped it get up a notch.
And I guess the fact that it still elicits yung visceral reaction is proof na maybe it was the right call.
Yeah.
I just don't want to see blood in my wrestling anymore.
I don't want to see that much blood.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Hard way,
tasteful.
Yeah, tasteful.
It's also weird seeing referees now na hindi nag-gloves.
Oh yeah, because it wasn't the thing.
Definitely not.
Oh, look how far we've come 15 years after the fact. In retrospect, I will say that I think Vince made the right decision in prohibiting blading.
For the most part,
I think so too.
I think it's a step in the right direction for the industry. I do hope that more and more performers and promotions adopt that moving forward. I know that it's not for everyone.
For me, as one of the guys who enjoyed ECW at its peak, at its most violent, I still look for it once in a while. Once in a while. I don't need it to be on every show, every pay-per-view that I watch.
Yeah, I think there's a point to be made there in that it is welcome when it makes sense.
Yes.
Like, for example, in a match where there are so many props that could get you to bleed, like a cage match or a Hell in a Cell or an Elimination Chamber, it makes sense na you would blade in such a match.
A little bit.
And if it doesn't, kasi parang ano nangyari dyan, but di kayo nasagutan.
Yeah.
Alright, so, okay, I've made it no secret on this podcast. I hate death matches.
Yes. Sure.
Really hate them.
I'm not even saying it has to be a death match.
Randy Orton versus Cactus Jack, Backlash 2004.
That's fucked up. That one's fucked up, yeah.
I could see the point of having blood there.
Because
obviously with the thumbtacks and the barbed wire, it makes sense to me.
And the fact that it's Cactus Jack, not Mick Foley.
Uh-huh. Yes.
There is that.
Yeah. And, looking back, Ric Flair and Orton, medyo blood feud naman talaga.
Literally.
Given everything that they'd gone through over the last year, diba? So
year two.
Orton was injured, remember?
Yeah, he was injured, yes. There was that.
Yeah, so it made sense to me. I just don't want to watch it again.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Given the choice. The match itself, Rose Wright, hindi siya yung sobrang complicated.
Mm. Yeah.
No crazy bumps.
No. They were just two guys beating each other up.
Yeah. And they were able to tell a very good story in the process. I remember at the end there was that handshake, and looking back, I'm not sure how I feel about that.
What? Yeah, it was weird because they continued the feud.
Oh,
but it could have been like, okay, after this, okay, respect, and then somebody. I really don't remember because what happens in between that and the subsequent.
No, they continued the feud. For real.
The feud.
The feud between Randy and Evolution is not over.
That's not over.
But I think parang tapos ng personal issue with Ric Flair. I think that was the message.
That was the message.
And the meta was this was Ric Flair putting Randy over.
Mm. Yes. Hard. Which was fine for me.
Inlang, I just found that odd. Especially knowing na hindi pa naman tapos yung Evolution feud. Watching Randy Orton work here, he hasn't really changed much.
I mean, he's added wrinkles.
Yeah. Siguro bumili siya. I wouldn't know because like the way I watched him kanina on the way here, that's when I watched the match. It was like it was your typical Randy Orton match.
Yeah.
And at the time, I could buy him as a babyface. I don't know why. I could buy him
because he didn't burn a house down.
Well, to me, he was literally a babyface.
Yes, he was so young.
Yeah, he was so young. So much potential. That
so filled with hope,
and the fact that Evolution was such a good heel team.
Mm.
It was so easy to believe or to buy Randy as a face,
especially when he was the one who used Evolution as a stepping stone first.
Yeah, and now you have Randy Orton of 2019 as someone who I can't buy as a babyface anymore.
You can never buy him as a babyface now. Ever since what?
Ever since Twitter.
There's that. But I was gonna say he burned a man's house down.
Yeah, he did burn a man's house down. He's an arsonist. But yeah, 15 years later in 2019, it really says a lot about how powerful Evolution was as a vehicle. Look at all four guys, all Hall of Famers.
Mm.
Sobrang but only galing. One Drax the Destroyer.
Yeah.
Oh, sobrang Drax the Destroyer. Now even the Crown Prince of Saudi wants Dave Batista to wrestle as Drax.
When Disney ain't gonna let you, Saudi.
Ni lang yon. Batista himself is retired.
That's officially.
Oh, Any other thoughts on the Steel Cage match before we wrap up the show as a whole?
No, not really. It's fun. We've said what we had to say.
Okay. So Taboo Tuesday would kick off a series that would eventually be known as Cyber Sunday.
It was weird.
It got weird, man. No,
the fact that it was on a Tuesday was super weird.
Wasn't that because of the taping schedule?
No, it was in it. No, they still tape SmackDown somewhere else.
I think they wanted to do something different para you would really buy into it. Like, oh, hey, it's a pay-per-view on a Tuesday and you get to pick the stips or you get to pick the opponents or whatever.
And in a time when it's like they had the TV networks by the throat at the time.
Now, just thinking about it, because they did it on a Tuesday live, but somewhere else they're taping SmackDown.
With half of the roster.
Yeah.
In theory, kaya naman nila, kasi it's WWE.
Yeah.
You know, the show itself, like we said, not the best show to kick off this mini series on the podcast. Mm. If I had to rate it, I'd probably give it like a C or a D.
I don't want to rate it.
It doesn't age well.
Yeah, it did not at all.
And like my biggest takeaway from all of this is that I miss JR and King on commentary.
Sure, but that was peak.
JR and King, because like when you listen to them and then you, because I watched this show Sunday night,
mm-hmm.
and then after that I subjected myself to Raw and SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
and there's a reason we're not talking about Raw and SmackDown
as much. Yeah. So, sorry.
There's that. No, basically, that's it. And commentary is a big part of it for me.
Okay.
One last takeaway from me. I really miss the time seeing pay-per-views are just 3 hours or less.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, eight matches that Jesus quick. Christ. No pre-show. No. I mean, even with this, and this is quite possibly one of the hokiest types of pay-per-views, it still doesn't feel like a slug.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's like you can set aside the portion of the day that you set aside for maybe for Raw nowadays. You watch this and you're like, huh, I can watch this in one sitting.
Mm-hmm. And then not again.
And then never again.
Never again.
God, because it's so awful.
Yeah, so there you go. Taboo Tuesday, our mini-series retrospective here on the SGP podcast.
If you guys like that, let us know what else you want us to watch and review.
Because if you guys like me want to give ECW pay-per-view some justice,
why the fuck not?
Make us do it, guys.
Or okay, manager, please don't make us hate watch something so horrible.
Yeah, please.
I mean, if you want to suggest a Bash at the Beach, pick a good one. You want to pick a Halloween Havoc? Pick the one with Ray and Eddie.
Or pick Bash at the Beach where the NWO forms.
No, you don't. Stan, you don't want to watch that show.
I don't know. I've never seen a WCW show in my life.
No, I actually watched and sat through it. It's
the whole thing.
That's why
we'd make for a good show, because we'd come in as virgins.
Yeah, we'd be blind. So, you know,
blinded in chains?
No, just blind. I would do a show, or I would watch a show from, say, 2001, yung time hindi pa ako nanonood ng wrestling.
Sure.
Like, say, WrestleMania X7. Oh, wait. No, I think I've seen
you've
that.
You've seen that?
Yeah, I've seen X7.
I had to see that.
I had to. Yeah. Or, I don't know, Insurrection. Like, I've never seen an Insurrection.
Ooh, okay. That's
I've never seen an In Your House.
Really?
Nope.
Really?
I probably only have seen the Owen Hart bit.
Okay, you know what? I think for the next one, we should nominate In Your Houses.
All right, sure.
Because there are enough good ones, and I actually had a small collection of VHS In Your House shows.
Well, we have the network, dude.
No, I'm saying at the time. At the time, I had a small collection of them, so right. I've seen some shit, man.
Okay.
All right. So if you have any other shows you want to send our way to watch on the network, then you know where to find us at the SGP Podcast, at Roizwar, at Caveman Camus, and at _StanC. Before we go, picks of the week, gentlemen.
SmackDown main event, because Sami Zayn got a title opportunity.
I'm going to pick Kofi versus Bryan from Raw. WrestleMania rematch.
Because this week was so bad.
It was so bad. Yeah, I got nothing at all.
Like
not
some
even
people,
last week.
Some people are saying that this is quite possibly the worst Raw they've seen in the modern era. And there's a reason.
Kahit ba 205?
No, I haven't seen 205 yet, but that's why I'm not choosing. Last week's show to them.
Or you can tap, it's fine.
No,
don't
Tony
make it tap.
And Drew Gulak.
Which is good.
Alright.
But I will say this, seeing Sami get the title opportunity, even though it was a triple threat, even if it was as hokey as it was, made me happy.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
Even though I knew he wasn't going to win. It doesn't make sense. Absolutely does not make sense. But makes me happy.
Alright, Camus. So we're gonna end episode number 267 right here. Kamus has to be a 21-year-old and go to black market.
Yeah.
And Ro and I have to go to sleep because we have jobs in the morning.
That's true.
Well, I'm also working in the morning. It's just I'm electing to be a good friend and be a 21-year-old for a night.
All right.
So Kamus is gonna go do him, and we're gonna go, you know, do our thing as well. Thank you for continuing to support Philippine wrestling. Of course, you've got local shows coming up this month. MWF. Happening at McKinley, Venice Piazza?
Yeah, Venice Piazza. Venice, actually.
No.
It's called the Venice Grand Canal Mall.
And there is a space.
Grand Canal Mall.
There is space for it. There's a fully booked. There's a nice number of eateries
there. I know exactly where it is going to be held. I know where in the mall because I work right across it.
And this is on May 17, 18?
17.
May 17, Saturday.
18.
Yeah.
18.
18 is Saturday, yeah.
Checking Facebook to be sure.
No, tomorrow's 10. So... Hey, you know, you get it.
Yeah, you get it. You know, it's getting late, and our brains are not working as well as they should be. Of course, we got PWR Revolution X, biggest show of the year, May 26. Go catch it. Kamus, what are you doing at Revolution X?
I still don't know.
You're still benched. Yay!
Well, MSG is not benched. MSG has a match against the Mega Poggies, Chris Panzer and Ken Warren.
Is that what they're calling themselves?
Fuck, I don't know.
They don't have a name yet.
But honestly, you are doing creative work for them?
Wow. Wow. I thought you hated them so much.
No. They are such slouches that Stan is doing creative work for them.
May 18. Just for clarification, just so that you can't say we didn't get this right. May 18, Venice Grand Canal Mall in McKinley Hill.
That's MWF, PWR Revolution X at Circuit. You know where to find us.
And the jury's coming, guys. Just... For those of you who want to know, the jury is coming.
Okay, Kamus.
And so is Counter Terror.
And thank you for supporting the podcast as well. So if you want to keep supporting the podcast, keep us on the interwebs, all you have to do is to subscribe, hit that download button, leave us a 5-star rating, and share us on social media. Tell your friends that this podcast by Filipino wrestling fans for Filipino wrestling fans exists.
Yep.
On behalf of Romaran and 21-year-old Raf Kamus, my name is Stancy. Episode number 267 in the books, and we are out of here.
Peace.